A verse in Psalm chapter 16. Now, there are many wonderful verses in Psalm 16, which is a messianic psalm, but the verse I would like to read with you is verse number 8. So Psalm 16, verse 8. This is David writing, and he says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now this verse really impressed me a little while ago as I read it and I thought about it. And as I think about this, this is truly a remarkable confession. That in this verse, David is speaking of his trust and his confidence for the future. And as I look at this verse, I see in it three subjects. I see, first of all, David's confession of salvation. I have believed in the Lord. The second is his confidence that the Lord will never leave him. He is at my right hand. And the idea behind speaking of the right hand is the idea of I have given him first place in my life. And then the third is his confidence that at whatever trials and challenges he will face in life, he will be preserved by the Lord. So you think of that. Salvation, first place, and preservation. And the thoughts expressed in this verse really have caused me to think of three of the titles of the Lord Jesus that we have in the Word of God. While they present the same person, I believe that they present the Lord in different ways. And those three titles are found in three different passages of Scripture. The first title that I think about is in 1 Timothy chapter 2. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. And the title there that I'm thinking of is mediator. And then we have Job chapter 9 and verse 33. Neither is there any days man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. And that is the idea of a days man. And then the third one that has come to, that I thought about as I thought of this verse, it comes to us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So we have here, and some would say that these are synonymous terms. And they are in a sense because they're describing the same person. But each expression, each title, has a special significance for the child of God. A mediator is the one by whom we have reconciliation with God. And so in that, the idea of the mediator is salvation. In the daysman, we have the idea of one who is there to help in times of trouble, to comfort us. And there I think of the idea of preservation. And then in the idea of the advocate is there to take our part because of failures in our life. And there we have the idea of restoration. So when you look at those three, you look, first of all, you see salvation, preservation, restoration. Now, most of us, most of those in the meeting here tonight, know already the Lord Jesus as a mediator. At that time when we stood, as it were, by faith at the foot of the cross, he was our mediator. He took our place, and he brought us and united us with God. So what is a mediator? Well, a mediator is one who knows and understands the thoughts of both. And we needed a mediator because our actions have raised a wall of enmity between God and us. And we, before salvation, were God's enemies. But thankfully, there was that moment when we stood at the foot of the cross, and he, as our mediator, took our place and paid the price for our redemption. And we think of this, that the Lord Jesus is the only mediator between God and men, providing salvation manward, but facilitating prayer and worship Godward. So that to all of our prayers and praises, he adds his own sweet perfume. He brings to us God, and we bring, and he brings our prayers and our worship to God. And you think of how important your prayers are. When I think of the picture of the prayers of the saints, of the God's people through the scriptures, you think of that in the ark, think of the tabernacle, and you think of that altar of incense. That altar of incense, there was never fire burnt on the altar itself. The fire was always in the censer that was there with the incense that was poured upon it. And that was always speaks to God of the prayers of his people. And when we come to the book of Revelation, again, it emphasizes that incense was a reminder before God, the prayers of his people. And you think of that, that the Lord Jesus Christ as our mediator brings all of our prayers unto God, that they might be acceptable in his sight. But you know, when I was thinking of this topic, the topic that was most upon my mind was the idea of the daysman. The daysman. Now, some would have replaced the word daysman in the different translations with umpire, and arbitrator, and mediator, and helper. But really, those words lose the thought behind the idea of a daysman. A daysman has the idea of someone who is walking with you to comfort you in your discouragement. You see, when Job uttered those words, desiring a daysman, he was at the depth of his suffering. He was suffering for righteousness' sake. You'll remember that in the chapter 1 of the book of Job, that God says to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him, an upright man, one that escheweth evil." And yet Job says, "It's all a show. It's all a show. He doesn't like you." And God gave him permission to test Job, because God knew that Job would come through that trial. And I think of this fact that Job was suffering for righteousness' sake. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he gave that sermon on the mountain, could say, Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Job was there suffering for righteousness' sake. He believed in the Lord, but now he was suffering and he didn't know why. And without the knowledge of a daysman, all Job could see was that his trials were in some way punishment. But they weren't in punishment. And you know, sometimes we will go through trials and temptations, and we won't know why. But we need to look unto our daysman, the one who has promised to always be with us, that he would walk beside us, that he would give us comfort. I think of those things that are spoken of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I think of those, and we think of those two verses that we have in our New Testament where he says to his disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." And that's at the end of Matthew. And that's a very good verse to keep in mind, that as we serve him, he's with us. But then I think of that in Hebrews chapter 13, and there's that other verse, and he says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And there he's there, and you look at that passage in Hebrews chapter 13, and it's dealing with our interpersonal relationships. And he says, "I'm going to walk beside you when you're working with fellow believers, when you're talking to them, I'm listening in, I'm there with you." But you know, the verse that I really in the last month or so, I came across this verse in the Old Testament, and it really impressed me, because it applied not only to the one in the Old Testament, but it applies to each one of us today. In Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15, God is speaking, the Lord is speaking to Jacob. And he says to Jacob, "I will never leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And I think of how true that is for us today. The Lord could well be saying that to you and me. "I will never leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And what did the Lord speak to us of? Well, I think in John chapter 14 and those verses, those beginning verses, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And the Lord is saying, "I'll never leave you until I've come to get you." And then he adds in that verse, "But even then, I'll never leave you, because you'll always be with me." And you think of that. Eternally, he's going to be with us. And so when I think of this, Job in chapter 9 and verse 33, he desired a daysman to be with him. But then in chapter 23 and verse 10, he looks to his daysman in hope. And he says, "But he, that my daysman, knoweth the way I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And so really, Job is saying, "I've got a glimpse of him. He's in my heart. I've got that glimpse of my daysman, and he's going to be with me, and I'm going to come forth as gold." And I think of Peter. P- Peter in his epistles, second epistle, he says that there's been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises that we might face the trials that come to us, that we might be able to be partakers of the divine nature. And then the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he says, God has given this promise that his grace is sufficient for us as we go through the promises. And then Paul wrote to the Romans and he says, you know, we face the promises, the trials, we've gone through the trials, and we look back at the trials and we see that God is developing in us spiritual character. And because we have seen that, and because we have grasped hold that he is with us before we went into the trial, he was with us in the trial, and we can look back and see the trials, that we can glory in him. And so we had a mediator who brought us to God. We have a daysman who is with us in our trials. But sometimes you and I fail. And we need an advocate. And what is an advocate? Well, an advocate is one who stands with you that he might defend you when charges have been leveled against you. He says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And in that, we have three things that speak to us about our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, he's our advocate. He's our friend in need. Then he's the righteous one. He's the one who pleases God. That's the idea behind that word righteous. Wherever you find it in the Word of God, that the idea behind righteousness is pleasing God. We have been declared righteous because we now have the potential to please God. Before salvation, we never had any potential to please God. But now we have. But then we'll find he's our propitiation. He's the one in whom we can obtain mercy. And when we look at the idea of propitiation, we see it in two different ways. And I think of it and I picture it on the Day of Atonement when the high priest would go within the Holy of Holies. And as he stepped into the Holy of Holies, the first thing he did was to sprinkle before the mercy seat, the ark and the mercy seat, of blood upon the ground 7 times. What was he doing? He was making propitiation. There, the priest could then step before the ark and the mercy seat. He was on the grounds of propitiation, the grounds of place of mercy. But then he took the blood and he sprinkled it upon the mercy seat. There he's making the sacrifice of propitiation and atonement. And so when we read the Leviticus chapter 16, we read that it speaks of atonement, atonement, atonement. He has made atonement for us. And it says in this verse, if any man sin, we will sin. When we are led astray, but then we look in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, and it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But you know, when you look at the picture of the advocate is more than just a defense lawyer. The advocate, the title of an advocate is the idea of a defense lawyer and a bodyguard. And how many times has he been our bodyguard and we have never, ever realized it? As our defense lawyer, he appeals on our case before the Father. But as our bodyguard, he is there to help before we sin. And I think of the illustration that we have of that in the Gospels. For the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to Peter, could say to Peter, Satan has desired to have you, but I have prayed for you. There he is, in that position of an advocate as a bodyguard, to protect Peter. I have prayed for you. And when thou art recovered, strengthen thy brethren. And so we have in those three things our mediator, and he brought us to God, and he saved us, but he never left us because he's our daysman. He's there to comfort us in times of trial, in times of difficulty. But he will. But we must realize that even as our daysman, he's not going to force himself upon you. For I think of the disciples, they were in that boat, and the water was in filling the boat, and they were thought they were in danger of drowning. And he came towards him. And one of the Gospels says it would be as if he would pass them on by. He was there. But he was waiting for their cry. And immediately that they called unto him, he was in the boat, and they were immediately preserved and brought to the shore. He was there to protect them before they got into difficulty. But he is also there when we do fail, when we do. When there are those times of failure, and you think of that, and I thought of been thinking of these three titles over and over again for the last couple of weeks. My mediator, my daysman, my advocate. What a Savior we have. Shall we pray? Our God and Lord.